Curtis Sittenfeld's debut novel is called Prep. It's been described as catcher in the rye for the age of the organization kid. The organization kid, the child who's constantly amassing accomplishments. And Curtis Sittenfeld certainly fits the bill. She won the 17 Magazine Fiction Writing Contest in 1992 at the age of 16. Now Sittenfeld's written Prep, the story of Lee Fiora, an intelligent, observant 14-year-old who attends a prestigious boarding school in Massachusetts. Lee is intensely self-conscious and feels like an outsider at the school. Steve Paulson asked Curtis Sittenfeld if she felt that way in high school.
The short answer is no. I mean, certainly there are characteristics I share with Lee, but I wouldn't say that I am Lee or that I was Lee. The thing about a book also is it gives you, or it gives me, the author, sort of the luxury of almost thinking out every thought, every idea that flickers through her head. She can have three paragraphs to discuss it, which for a person, it might be more like a fleeting thought of, oh, was I making a weird expression when that person looked at me or something like that? But it's almost below the level of consciousness. And for her, almost nothing is below the level of consciousness.
So you were not that analytical yourself when you were in school.
Well, I mean, I am an analytical person, but I wouldn't say I'm as paralyzingly analytical as she is. I mean, she really, at times, she's sort of immobilized. I mean, at times she acts, sometimes against her own best interest. But I was much more a participant in the community, and I had more friends than she does, and I participated in a lot more activities. I wrote for the school paper, and I wrote for the school literary magazine, and writing helped to kind of define my identity. And she feels like she's not really good at much of anything, and I think she sort of feels like she's a bore. I mean, I hope, as the author, I hope that she's not right, you know, because I don't
want to. No, she's not a bore. But she's obviously very insecure about how she fits in there.
Yeah. No, she definitely is.
Well, I also had the sense that Lee, the narrator of the story, had kind of two selves. There was her boarding school self, in which how she presented herself to the world at Alt, and it was kind of, it wasn't really who she was. And then there were, you have a few scenes of when she goes back home to her family, and the real Lee seemed to come out there. And I suppose that's probably a pretty common experience. I mean, you want to present a certain more acceptable, a kind of a cooler self.
Yeah. No, I think that is true, that she's a little bit more, like at the school, if in doubt, she sort of shuts up. And it's almost like with her family, if in doubt, she picks a fight with them, you know? So, I do think that that's not that uncommon, especially among teenagers, to have sort of different sides of yourself, and you break out one of them depending upon the situation that you're in.
You have a passage where Lee is reflecting back on this experience in high school and really thinking about how important it was, how formative the whole thing was. And I'm wondering if you could read this. And she's thinking about her roommate, Martha, who was always more popular than she was.
Yeah, sure. Let's see. "And as for Martha, I never understood when I was at Alt why she liked me as much as I liked her. Even now, I'm still not sure. I couldn't give back half of what she gave me, and that fact should have knocked off the balance between us, but it didn't, and I don't know why not. Later, after Alt, I reinvented myself, not overnight, but little by little. Alt had taught me everything I needed to know about attracting and alienating people, what the exact measurements ought to be of confidence and self-deprecation, humor, disclosure, inquisitiveness, even, finally, of enthusiasm. Also, Alt had been the toughest audience I'd ever encounter, to the extent that sometimes afterward I found winning people over disappointingly easy. If Martha and I had met when we were, say, 22, it wouldn't have been hard for me to believe she'd like me. But she had liked me before I became likable. That was the confusing part."
That's so interesting to hear that. I mean, it's really, at least in your fictional rendition, it makes high school the pivotal experience of life.
I mean, oh my God, I hope not. Oh, what a horrifying thought. No. No, I mean, I definitely subscribe to the theory, which I've heard, you know, other people say this sort of like, if prom is the best night of your life, then that's really sort of terribly sad. So I hope high school is not. I mean, I think that high school can be a really formative time in terms of defining your personality and maybe some of your interests. But I mean, I hope it's not when you, I don't know, when you're, it feels like these are the biggest things that will ever happen to me. I mean, I hope that it feels that way at the time, but that then you look back and think, oh, who cares? You know, I took it all far too seriously.
Well, I remember back when I was in high school thinking, sort of hoping for the time when I wouldn't be there anymore, because I remember feeling very trapped in, well, this is how everyone sees me. And that's kind of how I saw myself. And I had been going to school with the same kids year after year. And I sort of wanted to have a new self, but I almost felt like I had to get away to get that. Did you have that experience?
I don't know if I felt that way. I mean, I did feel this sense of, I don't know if I wanted to get older, you know, because I did feel very engaged in my life as an adolescent. But the older I've gotten, I would certainly say the happier I've been. I mean, I think that adolescence is sort of overrated. And when people look back and think, I was so carefree and, you know, I was so thin or whatever people think about adolescence, I just feel like nothing compares to being able to choose the way you spend your own time and pursue your own interest. And I just didn't like the feeling of, you know, you have to study for a biology test. And I would just think, I'm really not interested in biology. You know, so I like it that even if I'm working hard or something like that, I've basically chosen my own work. I just like the choices of adulthood.
You know, one way of looking at Lee is that even though she feels very out of place at this prep school, part of the reason, part of the attraction for her for going there is that she does want to join that world. In a sense, she's trading up socially. Uh-huh. Is that one reading of what's going on there?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And I think also that some readers would hold that against her. Or in the passage that I read where it talks about her kind of figuring out what people want and then altering her personality to accommodate that. I think
sounds manipulative.
Well, it's funny because I do, and some people certainly say, well, is Lee supposed to be likable, which is always code for I don't find her likable. I feel like, sure, it's manipulative, but I feel like people are so manipulative every single day. People are so complicated, which I think is one of the reasons that people are interesting. But I feel like, you know, so many times every single day, people say things that, you know, aren't exactly true because they want to seem a certain way or they want you to be curious and to kind of tease more information out of them. Or it's just, I just think that people are often kind of indirect or even a little sneaky in pursuing what they want. And sometimes maybe they even conceal it from themselves. But I feel like people overwhelmingly act out of self-interest. And I think when Lee does that, she's perhaps excessively honest about it, but I don't think that she's different from most other people. And I also, I mean, I don't know anyone almost who hasn't altered their self-presentation based on past experience. You know, it's sort of like,
partly learning from life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you know, someone might say, you would really look better with a side part, or, you know, have you ever considered wearing makeup or something like that? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's sort of sweet, and it's certainly a huge part of our culture. I mean, if you read any magazine, it's all about self-improvement. So I think she is manipulative, but in a very human, ordinary way.
So you like Lee a lot, I take it.
I don't think, oh, Lee's adorable or, you know, but I feel sympathetic to her. You know, I think that her feelings are, for the most part, pretty normal. I mean, some of them are a little bit extreme, but I don't see her as a bad person. And, you know, sometimes she's naive or sometimes, you know, sometimes she is selfish, but again, show me someone who's not, you know, and So I do like her. I mean, I wouldn't say that I think she's perfect or that I would like to be her roommate or something like that. But I do, if you ask me to come down on one side of liking her or not liking her, I definitely do like her. I feel a little protective of her, you know, almost like she's my little cousin or something. And I've been to two book groups, and the second book group, it was all these middle-aged women who just tore her apart as a character, and they were saying she's totally lacking in compassion, she's so passive aggressive, I just wanted to slap her. And I was thinking, oh, you know, lay off her, I don't know, what's the big problem? I mean, you know, and people, when people feel frustrated with her passivity, I think it's partly a function of, you sort of see everything she considers doing and then doesn't necessarily do. And so it seems like she's more passive than she is, because she does actually have these episodes of, you know, acting or even acting out.
Curtis Sittenfeld is the author of Prep. She spoke with Steve Paulson.